Amen. I want to preach a sermon this morning I've entitled Doing What's Right When We Are Wronged. And with that in mind, I want to turn to 1 Samuel and chapter 25. And we're going to read through from verse 1 to 42, quite a lot of scripture here. And we're looking this morning at the story of Nabal and David and Abigail. Starts there with verse 1. Then Samuel died, and the Israelites gathered together and lamented for him and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. When David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you, and peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them. All the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favour in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son David." So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed from my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" So David's young men turned on their heels and went back, and they came and told him all these words. Then David said to his men, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. About 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me, see, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was, as she rode up on the donkey, that she went down under the cover of the hill, and there were David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light." Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, On me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be. Please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please not let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has arisen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. As the lives of your enemies and the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you nor offence of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried to come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal." So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was, holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone. Then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. So when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head." And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, "David sent us to you to ask you to become his wife." Then she arose, bowed her face to the earth and said, "Here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by 5 of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. So we're looking this morning at this story here of David and Abigail and Nabal. And Nabal was Abigail's husband, and how Abigail averted David from making a serious failure of judgment and showed him the right way to act. And in this story, it recounts this man and farmer named Nabal. Nabal was a wealthy farmer. He was a farmer of sheep and goats and livestock, and the Bible recalls here that he was very rich in his day. He was really wealthy. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and even by today's standard, if you're a farmer with that many head of sheep, you're not doing too badly. He was a wealthy man, and at this time it was the season for shearing sheep. It tells us in verse 2 that they were shearing sheep. And this was an annual event, usually in the spring. After a cold winter, the sheep were sheared of all their coats so they could be cool, ready for the summer. And it was a time of celebration. It was a time of feasting and banqueting. I think the Hebrew name for this festival is, if I can pronounce it, Hag Hagez. which is a festival where there would be banqueting and drinking and celebration for the shearers. Now Nabal, he was the husband of Abigail, and the Bible singles out Abigail in verse 3 as being a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But it contrasts her with her husband, who it describes as a man of harsh and evil doings. He wasn't a good egg at all. It says he was of the house of Caleb. Now we know that Caleb was the only other person other than Joshua who came into the promised land. Caleb was a man of faith. He was a good man. He was a righteous man. And Nabal was one of his ancestors or descendants. Another translation, it says he was a Calebite. But that can also be translated as a man of doggish character. And that's probably more correct in this translation about this man, because he was described as harsh and evil, or surly and evil in his doings. And that just shows you and I that just because you've got parents that are saved, or grandparents, or indeed ancestors from previous generations that have been righteous, that's no guarantee that your offspring down the line is going to be righteous. Each man is responsible for his own choices and character. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sins, it is the one that shall die. The son shall not bear and be punished for the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear and be punished for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him only, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon the wicked only." Now, Nabal's name actually means fool. He was a foolish man. He was a harsh man. He was a wicked man, a surly man, and a man with, as it says, doggish character. Yet his wife Abigail was a beautiful woman with good understanding. She was a godly, God-fearing woman. She was wise. She had a beauty that went beyond just outward appearance, but she was of beautiful character. 1 Peter 3 and 3 to 5 says, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewellery or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way of the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves." And it tells us in verse 4 that when David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say to him who lives in prosperity, peace be to you and peace to your house and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favour in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hand to your servants and to your son, David." See, David's men are in need. They need of sustenance. They're in need of some help here. And David had previously, and his men had previously spent time with these shearers, with these shepherds, Nabal's men, and he'd protected them. He'd looked after them. He hadn't stolen from them. He'd guarded them. He'd been good to them. And they said that he was like a wall to them. He was kind to them. And he was just asking now for a little help in return. In his time of need, he was being pursued by Saul. His men were hungry. They needed food. So he approaches Nabal through these messengers. And it's the season for sheep shearing, and this is a time when they were celebrating and banqueting and having a feast. And he's saying, "Can you give some of that food to my men and help us? Can you give some of that sustenance to my men as we looked after you and protected you when we were good to you?" And he said to his men, "And you shall say to him who lives in prosperity." He knew this man was rich. And he said, "Peace be to you, peace be to your house, and peace to all that you have." He's coming in peace. He's coming in friendship. He's coming as a friend. He's reminding Nabal that he's been good to him, that he's protected Nabal, and that all he wants is just a bit of help in his time of need. And it says in verse 9, so when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away, each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" So instead of being appreciative of what David had done, Nabal turns around being insulting and rude and digging at David, even pretending he doesn't even know who is David. Who is this son of Jesse? As if he didn't know who he was. And he puts in a dig here saying, "These days many are breaking away from their master." Of course, he's referencing David being pursued by Saul here. And when David's young men heard this, it says they turned on their heels. They went back, they told him all these words. This is the foolishness of Nabal. Instead of honouring those that had been good to him, he treated them with disrespect, with rudeness, with arrogance. And David, in his response, was rightly angry. He says in verse 13, "Then David said to his men, 'Every man gird up his sword.' So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies." David was furious. He was absolutely outraged. This man, Nabal, was being completely outrageous in his response. And yet David had been so good to this man and his household. And yet he was being repaid evil for all the good that he'd done. And you know what? There's many times in our lives when we get repaid evil. Even though we've been good, even though we've been kind to people, even though we've been good to people, they repay us with evil. And our natural inclination is to rise up in anger and to seek vengeance or become bitter and twisted. Our human inclination is to want to cut them down, to destroy them. None of us likes being wronged, do we? We have a deep sense of justice. And when somebody wrongs us, it's very tempting to want to take revenge, to take matters into your own hands, so to speak. And this is what David had done. He wanted revenge. He wanted to punish Nabal. Verse 14 says, "Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us and were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and day, and all the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel that no one can speak to him." So one of Nabal's servants saw what David was going to do, and he went to Abigail, Nabal's wife, because he knew he couldn't approach Nabal, because Nabal was so rude that nobody could speak to him. Have you ever met people like that, who are just so miserable and surly and rude, you can't even have a conversation with them? So this wise servant went to Abigail, Nabal's wife, and he warned her, saying, "Look, David was nothing but good to us. His men protected us, they treated us well. They were with us day and night, they guarded us, they were a blessing to us. They were a wall to us, they were good to us, nothing was stolen. They didn't take anything from us, that we were treated righteously." And he's saying, "But your husband is such a scoundrel, he's reviled them, and now David's determined to harm you and all his household, all his men." He was scared. This servant was scared for his life and the lives of his fellow men. Then Abigail, who we know is a godly woman, she listened to this and she made haste. And it says she took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seers of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and she loaded them on the donkeys. She wanted to avert a disaster. She knew that her husband was being foolish. She knew that he was being wicked and that he was going to bring destruction upon himself. She knew he was a scoundrel, and that he wasn't thinking about what he was saying. So she, in the wisdom that God had given her, put together all the food that David needed. She sent her servants ahead to make peace and to try and avert a disaster. Then she sneaked away herself. It says she made haste. She said to her servants in verse 19, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." But she didn't tell her husband Nabal. She knew she couldn't say anything about this to Nabal. So she rode on the donkey. She went down under the cover of the hill so that her husband wouldn't see her. And there was David and his men coming down towards them. And she met them and she intervened on his behalf on the way. She intervened to stop David from taking his revenge. She was a wise woman. She knew David was a man of God. Not just any man of God, but a man of God with a destiny to be the king of Israel. She knew David was the Lord's servant, that her husband was going to bring destruction upon his own house, that she was married to a foolish man. And here we find something about why David was angry. In verse 21, David said, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him, and he's repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David, if I leave one male of all who belongs to him by morning light." David was regretting that he'd even been good to Nabal. And he was outraged at the way he'd been treated. He was set on revenge. He was going to kill all the males in Nabal's household because this man had repaid evil for good. You know, David in his heart was thinking, you know, why is this man treating me like this? He said, "Surely in vain I've been good to this man." You know, sometimes we can look when we've made sacrifices for people, when we've been good, when we've been generous, when we've gone over and above for people, but we don't get anything back in return. We don't get any appreciation. And quite often we get the opposite. We get attacked. We get accused. And we think, surely it's in vain all the good that I've done. But you know what? In Jesus Christ, doing what is right is never in vain. Amen. Being good is never in vain. The Bible says to do good to those who persecute us, to bless those who curse us, to repay good for evil. We're called to bless, are we not? Not to curse. And God sees that. And God rewards that, as we will see. But David's mind at this point is, you know, I'm going to go and kill this man. I'm going to kill all his household for what he's done to me. And it says in verse 23, "Now when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David and bowed down to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, 'On me, my Lord, let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant.'" She's pleading with David. "On me, my Lord, let this iniquity be. Please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant." And in verse 25, "Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of whom my Lord, who you sent." What she's saying here is, listen, David, I didn't know all this was happening. I didn't know that you'd sent men to ask for this food for your men from my husband Nabal. Let this foolishness be on me. Let my husband's foolishness be on me. She knew what a scoundrel he was. She knew what a fool he was. As his name is, so is he. A wicked, old, churlish, angry fool. She knew what he was like with people, how he treated people roughly. But she was intervening on behalf of her husband and her household's behalf. One thing we can learn from Nabal is that one man's wickedness can affect other people around you. His wicked foolishness could have cost the lives of all his household. There's consequences to wickedness, isn't there? Sin doesn't just affect us, but it affects others around us. It affects our families. It affects our friends. It affects the relationships that we have. Wickedness never just affects you. It affects those around you. When we sin, there's always consequences, not just for us, but it can affect others too. In the scripture it speaks about in the church, it says, "Lest a root of bitterness spring up and defile many." There's always a consequence, not just for us, but for others too. And Abigail, she continues to intervene. Verse 26, "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand. Now then, let your enemies and those who seek harm for my Lord be as Nabal. And now this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord, according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor any offence, nor offence of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. So Abigail's giving here some godly wisdom and advice to David. Words of wisdom. She's saying, look, David, don't take revenge. God's got his hand on you. God's got a purpose for you. He's going to fulfill what he's promised in your life. He's going to bring you into your destiny to be the king of Israel. And even though you're being pursued by a man, God is going to vindicate you. Your life is bound up in the bundle of the living. You know, this morning, if you're in the will of God, I proclaim to you this morning that if you're in Christ, you are bound up in the bundle of the living. God's hand is upon you. No one can harm you without his permission. If you're in the will of God, that's the only place to be. And that's the place of safety. Better to be a doorkeeper in thy house than to take my fate upon myself. God has got his hand upon you. He hedges you in when you serve him. He protects us. He's our shield. He's our fortress. He's our defender. He's our rock. He's our shelter in the time of storm. You know, it's better to be in the will of God than to do our own thing. Many people drift away from the will of God, wanting to do their own thing. And that's a dangerous place to be. And David here was in danger of falling into personal vengeance and bringing blood guiltiness upon himself. Instead of trusting in God, he was in danger of taking revenge for himself. We have to be careful, don't we? Because anger can lead us to the wrong response, to either seeking revenge or leading us into bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred. But we need to respond as God would have us respond. We need to trust God with our lives. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We need to trust God. God is a just God. We need to pray for our enemies, this Bible tells us. Pray that they come to repentance. Because the justice of God can be swift and harsh. We're told to forgive those who trespass against us, as we have been forgiven. You know, God has forgiven you and I far more than any man's trespass that's against us. And Abigail here is giving a prophetic word to David and saying, and it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, nor offence of heart to my Lord, either that you shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember my maid, your maidservant. She's saying, look, if you listen to what I'm saying, this is going to spare you from avenging yourself, from having that on your conscience later on, that you've shed blood needlessly. What she's saying is, get the right perspective, David. Listen, look at you. Even though a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, she's saying, the life of my Lord will be bound up in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. God's going to keep you, David. Don't get bound up with this seeking of vengeance. God is going to keep you and he's going to bring it to pass. He says, the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling. Maybe God is here. Maybe through Abigail, God is reminding David here about when God intervened and he killed Goliath with a slingshot. So, in other words, you know, God will deal with your enemies, David. Don't take personal vengeance. One of David's many faults, And I like David because he does remind us that we've all got faults, haven't we? But God is gracious. But one of his many faults was that he was a man of much blood. 1 Chronicles 22:7-8. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'You have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight.'" Abigail's here trying to drive some sense into David. And you know what? David was a man after God's own heart. Yeah. And how do we know that? Because when people corrected him, he didn't just rise up in self-defense or arrogance or saying, "Get out of my way, Abigail, I'm going to go and kill your husband." But he listened to her godly counsel. He had a tender heart. He could discern the voice of the Lord speaking through Abigail. He could discern the Spirit of God giving him godly counsel through this godly woman. And David said in his response to Abigail in verse 32, "Then David said to Abigail, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me.'" He recognized, firstly, that Abigail was sent by the Lord. He also recognized that what Abigail was saying to him was wisdom from God. And he said in verse 33, "And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand." He recognized that Abigail had stopped him from taking personal revenge. And he said, "Blessed are you, Abigail, because you stopped me from acting in my flesh, from taking revenge upon myself. Blessed is your advice." He knew that this advice was inspired by God, was sent by God, and he acknowledged it and responded to it. He listened to it. You know, they say behind every good man is a great woman. There's nothing more precious than having a godly wife with godly counsel. Not just godly counsel from our wives, though. Any godly counsel is what we should want in all of our big decisions in life and the things that we have to ponder over. It's a good thing, is it not, to seek godly counsel? Because sometimes we're pig-headed, sometimes we're stubborn, sometimes we're intent on doing stupid and foolish things that are going to cause us long-term problems and consequences. Sometimes we act in the flesh. And that's what it is, isn't it? Acting in the flesh. Trying to sort things out in our own strength. I don't know about you, but I've been there many times to my own shame. I can remember wanting to do things in business that were out of anger, just out of taking the easy way, the quick way. But then I've been spoken to with godly counsel and listened to that and gone instead with God's way, which is often a harder way and quite often a longer way. And yet in the end, it's the blessed way to go. It's the way that gives you a clear conscience too. And there's no price on this earth that can be put on having a clear conscience. And God honours that when we make the right choices based on his way rather than our way. Verse 34, David said, "For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who's kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, surely by morning light no males would have been left to Nabal." He's saying, "Abigail, unless you'd intervened, your household would have been destroyed by the morning. Blessed are you for stopping me, Abigail." And in verse 35, "So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, 'Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person.'" David listened and he acted. He refrained from taking personal vengeance. His vengeance was stayed. So Abigail returned home, knowing that she'd managed to persuade this man David to stay his hand and to save, in consequence, her household and servants. And she went home, and there she found Nabal. Verse 36. "Now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was, holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light." Here's Nabal, carrying on as if nothing's happened. Partying, feasting, getting drunk, drinking, eating all the food that should have been given to David and his men, carrying on as though he's done nothing wrong, making merry and drunk. And wisely, Abigail didn't bother saying anything to him while he was in that state, but she left it until the morning when he'd sobered up. You know, there's some wisdom in that too, isn't there? My advice is never try to reason with a drunken person. Never try to get into a discussion about the things of God with someone who's wasted out of their mind with alcohol, because you're just casting pearls before swine. You can't reason with a drunken person. And quite rightly, she waited until the morning. And it says in verse 37, so it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal and his wife had told him these things that his heart died within him and he became like a stone. And then it happened after about 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. See, God hadn't forgotten what had happened. God knew what this man had done to David, and God was going to avenge David. And Nabal, when he was sober, Abigail went to him and told him, you know, you acted wickedly, Nabal. You repaid evil to David and he was going to bless you. But now he was going to take vengeance on you. He's going to come with 400 men and destroy you and all of our household. And that fear must have struck in Nabal's heart. And it says his heart died within him. He knew that he'd done evil and terror struck him. He probably had a heart attack by the sounds of it, because it says he turned like stone. But 10 days later he died. God had struck him. The sad thing in all of this is that Nabal didn't need to go down this road, did he? No. He could have saved his life. All he had to do was show some kindness to David. All he had to do was share some of his food and drink and be righteous, and he wouldn't have suffered this early death. So much of the consequences from sin can be avoided if we'll just listen to the voice of wisdom. If we'll just listen to the voice of the Lord, we can avoid so much pain and heartache and problems if we'll listen to the Spirit of God. We only rob ourselves when we don't we? We can avoid so much misery in our lives if we just listen to the Word of God. So much consequence as to what sin does. It says in the Bible, those who sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap destruction, and those who sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. You know, it's all about choices in life, isn't it? When we choose to do good, there's consequences for that. When we choose to do evil, there's consequences for that. It's all about the choices we make. Nabal, sadly, made the wrong choice. He chose to be rude. He chose to be surly. He was arrogant and selfish. He mocked David for being pursued by Saul. He had what was coming to him, and he died. But it could have been avoided. He made his wife a widow, but Abigail was blessed and rewarded, as we'll see. Verse 39, so when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. So David, you know, when he heard this news, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal. He's saying, you know, God has listened to the cause of my reproach. He's taken vengeance on my behalf. He rejoiced that God had dealt justice for him. You know, God is a just God. He will plead our cause. He is the just judge. And he will, it says, execute justice swiftly for his servants. And we can rejoice, actually, when justice is done. When justice is served. And no, we don't rejoice over the death of the wicked. Much rather that the wicked would turn and believe and turn and repent. But nevertheless, we can rejoice when justice is executed. You know, you often read stories where you can clearly see that justice has been executed. And it's a good thing to see in an unjust world. And often good God does bring the wickedness of the wicked down on their own heads. And people can rejoice when justice is executed. There are times in history when you see wicked men cut down. And no, we don't rejoice that these men brought destruction down on their own heads through their own stupidity. We don't rejoice so much at their death but that they brought upon themselves, but we do rejoice that justice is done. That God You know, God has those in authority who, it says, don't bear the sword in vain. We do rejoice that justice has been served, because it's always a good thing, is it not, when justice is served? Romans 13, 3 to 4 says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. But we would much rather that people would turn and instead to repentance and be saved. But nevertheless, if men are persistent in their wickedness, then they're bringing upon themselves the wrath of Almighty God and justice. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God does repay evil. The wages of sin is death. Sowing to the flesh does reap destruction. There is consequences to sin. And ultimately, the wicked will be judged and condemned. Well, in truth, they're already condemned unless they repent. Before you and I were saved, we were condemned. But thank God that God intervened and paid the price of our sin upon himself. That thank God that Jesus intervened between us and God. Just like Abigail intervened between David and Nabal. But nevertheless, Nabal was unrepentant, wasn't he? And God destroyed him because of his wickedness. What David saw was that God had vindicated him. Blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. He's blessing God not just for what's happened to Nabal, but that God has kept him from doing evil. God has kept him from taking vengeance. David understood that taking vengeance was wrong. He learned his lesson. He realised that the Lord himself has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. Nabal brought it down upon himself. And David obviously saw in Abigail a woman that was beautiful, but not just outwardly beautiful, but inwardly beautiful. A woman with godly wisdom, a woman of God. And he wanted her as his wife. So she became David's wife, and she was a blessing to David. She became his soulmate and was no longer a widow. And God rewarded her for her godliness. And when David proposed to her, it says in verse 41, then she arose, bowed her face to the earth and said, here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. So Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey, attended by five of her maidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. So David had the blessing of this godly woman in his life, whom God had provided through a difficult situation. So what can we learn from all of this? We can learn that personal vengeance is never the right answer, that we are to bless and not to curse, that we're to do what is right regardless of how we're treated. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The wrath and judgment of God are far more severe than any wrath that we can pour out. And we can learn that we need to listen to godly counsel. That sometimes, stubborn as we are and stiff-necked as we can be and hell-bent on doing the wrong thing, we need to listen to wise and godly counsel. And when men or women, as in this case, come and stand in the gap and say, look, no. Or when our wives say to us, no, that's not the right thing to do. We need to listen to that godly counsel. Put aside our anger and entrust these things to the Lord. And we can also learn from Nabal. Nabal was a foolish man and arrogant. And sometimes we can be foolish like Nabal. We can be dismissive of people and arrogant or prejudiced towards people. We can sometimes treat people the wrong way. We can be insensitive to people's needs. We can sometimes be unrighteous in our responses to people. God have mercy on us when we are. But let's, unlike Nabal, when we're corrected, let's listen to the voice of correction and repent. The truth in all of this is that Nabal could have avoided all of this if he'd acted righteously rather than wickedly. If he'd learned to listen to his wife a bit more, perhaps. We need to keep our hearts right before God, and we need to be a people of righteousness, because God rewards righteousness. There's a reward for doing what's right. We want to be those that are in the will of God, those that are kept safe in the bundle of the living, as she said to him in verse 29. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord, speaking about David, shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. If you're serving God, if you're faithful to God, your life will be bound in the bundle of the living. I want to be bound in the bundle of the living, don't you?
Yes, amen.
I don't want to be bound in the bundle of the wicked, heading for destruction, but bound in the bundle of the living, heading for eternal life. And if we'll do what is right, God will bring about justice and keep us and hedge us in. He'll protect us. All the good that God has spoken concerning us, he shall fulfill if we'll remain faithful. Because, you know, if David had ignored this woman, if he'd ignored her godly advice, if he'd have let that bitter and offended heart control him, he'd have shed blood without cause or avenged himself and been guilty of the shedding of blood. But he listened to that godly wisdom. And when it comes our way, when people correct us, when they rebuke us, we don't need to get on the defensive. When we're rebuked by our fellow brothers and sisters, we need to have a tender heart that's open to being corrected. Too many hearts are closed off because of pride, because they don't want to be corrected. You know, you can judge a man's character by his willingness to be corrected, by his willingness to be put right. When we're challenged, we need to always question, are they right? Is what they're saying right about me? We always need to check ourselves. Before we correct other people, we need to check our heart and say, is there any wicked way in me? Am I dealing with this right? Is it me that's the problem? We should always start with ourselves, shouldn't we, and test ourselves according to the word of God before we accuse others. We need a right heart. We need a heart like David's, a heart after God's own heart. A heart that doesn't seek after personal vengeance, but a heart that expresses God's love. A heart that blesses and doesn't curse. That repays good for evil. Amen?
Amen.
Let's trust God this morning to keep us in a right heart and a right mind. Amen. Let's pray.